Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different because I am going to be confessing about one of my deepest psychological burdens. Basically, I'm lying on a leather couch right now, and Stephanie is going to give me a therapy session, and we're going
to
be talking...
I didn't agree to that.
She didn't agree to those exact terms. And there really isn't a leather couch here. But today, I wanted to talk about my obsession with classic Coleman camping gear. It's become a bit of an addiction over the last few years. It's a little bit embarrassing to talk about, but I think it's also kind of interesting. And I wanted to kind of share my journey here collecting this stuff. And I also wanted to have a conversation with Stephanie and with you more broadly about whether collecting things is good or maybe it's bad.
I think that actually you're hoping for a very different outcome from all of this. I think that you're hoping for like a groundswell of support out there. Like you think if we publish this episode, you're going to get so many comments that it's like, no, it's okay. I have 3 bazillion lanterns also, Jeremy. And then like, you're going to kind of turn this and twist it and turn around and be like, see, this is fine.
I actually,
so it's like this false confession.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm hoping
we can get through this episode without having a gigantic argument on the podcast. I'm not.
Right, because this is actually a real life touchy subject that we're talking about.
A subject in our marriage. And I'm really not looking for validation. And I think that you might be surprised at where I'm going with this and my thoughts about this, about collecting things.
Sorry. This might just be a blip on the radar. I will say to our audience, if I feel in the future that anything actually changes as a result of this apparent therapy session for you, I will be happy to report that good news. I will be happy to, right? Because we are polar opposites on this, and we have been since day one. Like this tendency of yours to collect things didn't start with camping gear.
Oh no, it goes way back.
Right.
It's deep rooted. But I'm very conflicted about it. And see, Stephanie's going to just try and define me as this hoarding, junking collector. And it's really not that simple, actually. I'm far more complex than that when it comes to collecting things. So two quick stories. When I was a kid, my grandfather, who was a World War II veteran, a Great Depression baby, he was a legit hoarder. Wouldn't you say, Steph?
Oh, I
don't want to exaggerate. I loved him dearly.
It was bad.
But I think like he legitly hoarded things. And I think it was part of that Great Depression ethos where he grew up so poor, he didn't have shoes at different times. And he told me at one point, every male on his block was unemployed in Dinella, New Jersey. Then he made a great success of himself and he made a lot of money. And I think he kind of liked to just buy a lot of stuff because it gave him a sense of security. So I remember going to Home Depot with him and he would buy like, you know, a bottle of Crazy Glue or something. And I'd come home and a day or two later, I'd see that he already had like 4 bottles of Crazy Glue or whatever it was that he bought. And I'd be like, Grandpa, you already had this. And like, he didn't even know what he had and what he didn't have. And he just went out and bought more stuff.
Yeah, so I think that that's where I have a problem with the whole notion of collecting, right? It's twofold. First of all, I'm just a minimalist. Like from day one, I have had no problem throwing out things that didn't serve me anymore. Like I was always like that. Like, okay, this is like, you know, I'm done with this. And I really like having things around that I use, right? So if I have a great set of pots and pans, I don't need any more pots and pans. Like there's
you could
no...
have the same 10.5-inch Lodge cast iron skillet that you've had for 20 years if it wasn't for me.
If it's serving my purpose, that's all I need. Well, I never like things just for the sake of having them. I like things that I use.
Well, we can get into that. But I also want to say like hoarding and collecting, I don't want people to think that I think they're the same thing. I think they can overlap, but I do think there are some differences. Like, my grandfather didn't collect things. It's not like he had a collection of this or that that he prized or was valuable or that was rare. He just hoarded stuff.
Right. So I think that that's where the line's blurry. So I understand the idea of collecting things that maybe you enjoy. Like, say some people have a salt and pepper shaker collection, okay? And they have lots of different salt and pepper shakers, and they're displayed, right? Like, on their shelves of their kitchen or whatever. And so, or they're like, you collect coins and you put them in these folders and you flip through them and you look at them. So I think that there's an element to a collection, to me, that has to demonstrate enjoyment. And if you're not enjoying the collection, then what it was really about was the purchasing. Like, you just talked about your grandfather purchasing.
You are deep diving into my psyche right now already, and it's scary.
Yeah, because
that's where I want to go with this.
I have a real problem with when a collection is really about buying things, right? It's the process
about accumulation
of buying it, right?
And not joy.
And then once you buy it, you put it when you don't use it.
This is all the stuff I was hoping we would talk about. It. So I had in that one aspect, my grandfather. I have a lot of my grandfather in me, that hoarding kind of mentality that overlaps with my collecting mentality. But when I was in college, when I was an English major in college, I had a professor named Dr. David Martin who inspired me greatly. And I was collecting books in college. Remember, Stephanie,
when
we were dating?
Yes, I remember. Yes.
I lived at home with my mother, and I had a room full of hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 or more books. I was collecting books. I was even looking for first editions and things like that. And I started talking.
And we were poor college students.
Poor college students.
And you were like working as a landscaper and then spending all your money on like random first editions.
Not all of it. I took you out sometimes for dates and stuff. But I had a talk with Dr. Martin. I started to tell him how I was collecting books. And he looked at me and he's like, you know, I don't think you should collect books. He said, I've never been a book collector. For me, it's about the spirit of the book. Like, I don't really care about owning it or owning a first edition or a cheap edition. It's just, it's about the spirit of the book and what it means in your life and the joy of the book. And that really hit me. And I actually like stopped collecting books after college. Like, I don't collect books anymore. I mean, I buy books to read, but I'm not looking for rare books or first editions or anything like that anymore. But
you just move on to something else. And this is what I always say is you haven't changed. Like, you're always like, but I don't do that anymore. I don't collect that anymore. You just pivot a new thing. And so eventually your new thing became classic Coleman camping gear.
What's happened the past few winters is that when camping season basically ends, I mean, we do camp in the winter, but not as much as I'd like. And it's not easy to do. I basically fall into a rabbit hole every winter where I start collecting things. This past winter, most recently, was Weber grills, charcoal grills, things like that. 2 winters ago, it was Coleman, classic Coleman camping gear, meaning the fueled stoves and lanterns. And I thought I had put that to rest, but it reemerged in the last few weeks. And now I'm sort of all like hyper interested in it again.
I thought that you were gonna be selling those. I really thought that you had gotten over and you had realized that having stacks of classic Coleman camp stoves in our garage was not the best use of time, energy, or space. And I thought that, oh, maybe he's putting them up on Facebook Marketplace. But then all of a sudden I realized
that's probably not gonna happen.
Okay, well, we can talk about that more often because I really think it needs to happen. And, you know, out of the mouth of babes comes truth, because you're saying that's not gonna happen, but at the same time you were confronted by Wesley in the garage.
So 2 things got me started on this again. I have been talking with my friend Hector about building me a really beautiful lantern case for one of my really nice lanterns, because Hector's a woodworker. And I think we started talking about it a year or two ago, and it never happened. Finally, Hector said, like, I have some space in my life. I have some time. I just finished a few big projects. Let me build you this lantern case. And Hector built me this gorgeous, you know, handcrafted lantern case, has the Coleman sticker on it. It's in Coleman green. And that just got me interested in my lantern collection again.
Thanks, Hector, pulling out
my lanterns. Yeah, so thank you, Hector.
Okay.
So that got me like excited about it again. But then 2 days ago, Wes and I, my 6-year-old son, we were cleaning out the garage. We were just, you know, we came home from our big summer camping trip, doing a little cleaning in the garage. And I was in the section, the shelf where I keep all of my camp stoves. And Wesley looked at me and said, Dad, why do you have so many camp stoves if you don't use them? And that question filled me with like existential dread, because I know that like my sons watch me, our sons all watch us, and they learn from us, and they model us, and they pick up our good behavior and our bad behavior. So all of a sudden I sort of panicked, and I was like, oh my God, is he seeing something bad about his father right now that I am hoarding and collecting this stuff? Do I want him to follow in my footsteps? Would I want my son collecting old camping stoves? And ultimately, I think the answer is no, I wouldn't.
No, because a stove is to use as a stove. And how many stoves can you really use? And how many do you want to use? Do you want to waste your time like maintaining stoves and like oiling them? Is that what you really want to do with your spare time?
You don't have to oil them.
You do. I see you out there doing things with them.
I light the lanterns up at night and I use them. I go sit on the back deck. I light my Coleman lantern and I read.
All right. No, I mean, do you want to tell everybody like the story of how you got into this?
Every obsession has an origin story. And this is such a camping themed origin story. So this all started for me about 2 years ago. We were we had our seasonal site at Lake and Wood at that point, and we were meeting our friends Phil and Les at Old Mill Stream Campground. They were camping there over Thanksgiving weekend. So we drove over to Old Mill Stream, and we were going to go to Dutch Wonderland, right, for the night?
Yep.
So we drove over there. Phil's got all his camping gear set up. You know, he's got his site set up, and he has this really wacky-looking old Coleman stove. I think it's from the 60s or early 70s. In that classic Coleman green, the suitcase style stove with that red fuel tank up front. And I swear to you, I had never seen one before. And I was like, Phil, what is that thing? Like, that thing is so cool. That thing is awesome. Does it even work? And he's like, yeah, it works. And he lit it right up and he like made some hot chocolate on it. And this stove was like 50 years old. And I was like, man, I would love one of those. Like, where did you get one of those? And he said, well, actually, you know, I bought it used for $5 and you can find them used all over the place. But then he also said, you know what? There's a Coleman outlet store right here in Lancaster County, in Lancaster. And I'm going to go over there today because I need a globe for my lantern. My globe broke. Why don't you come with me over to the Coleman outlet store? And I was like, they still sell these at the Coleman outlet store? I mean, I've never seen one in my life. And he's like, oh, yeah. So what you have to realize is if you go to a Coleman outlet store, they have hundreds of products that they do not sell at Walmart, that they do not sell at Target. They still make a lot of this classic camping gear. So I walked into the Coleman outlet store and I was like, it was like nirvana. It was like this incredible camping discovery for me. I was blown away by all the stuff they had there.
So now you want to tell everybody what happened after that purchase of a single reasonable propane lantern?
Well, this is where I'm kind of like somewhat embarrassed about what happened. And, you know, I'm still kind of coming to grips with the fact that I basically started collecting classic Coleman camp stoves and classic Coleman lanterns, ones that I was finding on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. And I think at a certain point you were like, Jeremy, how many of these do you have? And I wasn't telling you because I was accumulating them very quickly. I was finding them for $5, $10. I was enjoying fixing them up, starting them up again. But I wasn't really being honest with myself about the fact that, like, I was collecting them. I was collecting classic camping gear. And that's what I wanted to kind of come to grips with today. Like, whether this whole thing was good or bad. Is it a fun, joyful hobby, or is it a big waste of time, space, and money?
So you're right. You were never honest with me about, and in fact, I would say, how many? And you kind of squirrel things away. It's kind of par for the course of somebody who you're calling it collecting. But again, back to the beginning, there's a very fine line between collecting and hoarding when you start squirreling things away, right?
I think for me, they're one and the same. For somebody else, it might be a nice, as you mentioned, it might be like a nice, joyful collection that brings them a lot of happiness. I think for me, it's another name for hoarding.
All right. Count it up, Mr.
Well,
Hoarder?
For this podcast, I did. Do you know?
Are they real numbers?
They're the real numbers.
You didn't subtract anything?
Do you know? Could you guess?
No. I mean, I think that I had a rough number of 10 for the stoves because I saw them stacked up.
11 stoves.
Yeah.
11 classic Coleman camping stoves. I gave one to my buddy Steve, who's a little bit of like a prepper kind of guy. And he was really interested. You know, he's probably gone off and started his own collection. So I had
12. No. Steve would never start a collection. Steve thrives to live out of a van down by the river. So he would think one stove is enough. He wouldn't go out and buy more.
Yeah, Steve's like, Phil, like one is enough. Yeah. But I 11. And the pride and joy of the stove collection is the three burner Coleman camp stove, which I actually bring camping all the time. And I love it. But beyond that, like I use that one. I don't really use the other ones, right? And now the lanterns got even more out of control. 16 lanterns.
That's, I can't believe you're even admitting, like you pursued admitting that to our audience.
I think that I'm right now, it's like I'm looking for catharsis.
I guess so.
Like I'm looking for a purging.
I'm looking for a garage sale. Because live in a McMansion. We don't have tons of storage here. We live in a fairly small house.
Modest house at the Jersey Shore.
A modest house, exactly.
Now, I have been purging a lot of camping gear, to be honest. And can we honestly say that to the audience? Like, I have sold over $1,000 worth of stuff that was lying around the house.
Yeah.
I have not
under
been...
duress. But then you got into it. It was an activity that you could get
behind.
Well,
we put the money towards the new minivan.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about that. You really got
that's another episode. But I have not put up any of these stoves or lanterns for sale. But I don't think I will. I might. But what I am willing to say is that the collecting's done. Like, it's not making me happier buying more of them. In fact, it's just kind of becoming cluttered and a little bit hard to manage. And now that I have all of these, I'm kind of envious of Phil and Phil's single lantern and single camp stove that he loves and adores and uses all the time. And I think this gets back to the point you were making. It's about using the stuff. It's not about collecting it. At least for me, I really feel like the joy is in using these things, not in building up a collection of them that I think is ultimately just kind of collecting dust in the garage.
Yeah, well, I think that you feel that way now because you went through the cycle, right, of the collecting. And now you're not going to purge, but you're saying, oh, I'm done. And I think that in general, because you say this is catharsis, so I'll throw this out there and maybe, you know, we'll see in the future if you want to come back on and talk about whether this is the case or not. But I just think that you always move on to the next thing. I don't think you're actually done with collecting. I think you're done with collecting stoves and lanterns. And I think
the next item thing could be like more frightening.
Is just right around the corner. It's just waiting to capture
this winter.
Fancy.
Yeah, I got into like Weber charcoal grills, but I'm starting to realize.
Like, do you know what it's like?
I'm starting to realize
grills.
That it's like I do learn, Stephanie. Like, I'm starting to realize that when winter rolls around and I get a little bit bored, then this part of my personality comes out. This sort of monster comes out. And I think that I got to tame it. And I think this winter, there will be no collecting of anything. It's going to be about using things.
All right. Well, we're not interested in necessarily telling everybody out there that they should go out and buy 11 stoves and 16 lanterns. But somebody listening to this episode may be like, okay, you got that many for $5, for $10, whatever. Where did you get these things? Tap me into your market. If anybody out there wants like one single good stove, what should they do?
I recommend to anybody with an interest, go get one working stove. You know, go get one working Coleman camp stove that's in decent shape and that's functioning. Go get one working Coleman lantern. I mean, it's nice to maybe have two lanterns on a picnic table. But really, like, do you ever need two stoves at the campground?
Yeah, but where should they get? Like, what should, like...
Facebook market. Both of us have
decided... You're an expert, apparently.
Both of us have decided that Facebook Marketplace is better than Craigslist for both buying and selling. Because you get the profile of a real person and it's just less scammy. I would definitely ask to meet someone in a public place, like the parking lot of a Walmart or something like that. Don't do what I did and end up in strangers' garages and backyards, which was its own interesting experience.
Glad to have you back. Glad you returned from those adventures.
And in the show notes or the blog post that accompanies this episode, I go into even more detail about this whole obsession. But go to Facebook Marketplace, and when you go to buy one, just ask somebody to light up the lantern or light up the stove to make sure it works. Now, the problem is a lot of people that are selling them don't know how to operate them because it's something that like their dad had and their dad passed away or something like that. So you might actually need to watch a YouTube video, learn how to operate them if you actually want to test them. Now, if you're only spending $5 and you bring home a broken lantern, well, that's not the end of the world. But if you're going to spend like $15, $20, $25, you want to make sure they work before buying them. Or you can just go to the Coleman Outlet Store or go to, you know, Coleman.com or something, and they sell the modern equivalents of these lanterns and stoves, though most people would say they're not built quite as good as the old ones, which miraculously, 40 and 50 years later, they almost always still work.
With a lot of greasing and fiddling and whatever.
Again,
it is.
Again, there's no greasing.
There's something there that you fiddling. Do. I don't know. There's something fiddling. Going on.
I guess you could technically, like, you could grease the pump on the lantern.
It seems like
stove.
A lot of work for something that, like, for me, like a good old LED lantern.
So would you agree?
You have, like, a fire extinguisher.
I do keep a fire extinguisher. That's my other tip. Keep a fire extinguisher nearby. There wow. is the element of danger with these things.
Yeah.
And an old timer would say, ah, oh, that's ridiculous. Like, on one of the YouTube videos I did about lighting these lanterns and using these lanterns, somebody said, like, oh, all the warnings and all the fear of these things is ridiculous. That's just for millennials who are afraid of these things. But there is the...
Those fearful millennials.
There is the element where it's like, you know, a Coleman gas-powered lantern is more dangerous than a propane one, or obviously more dangerous than an LED, which is just not dangerous at all. So I do keep a fire extinguisher nearby. And sometimes when you do light an old one, it does fireball, you know? You get the
Sounds
old fireball
like a fun hobby.
On the back
yeah.
deck.
Mm-hmm. Good
which
times.
Occasionally you've seen those fireballs on the back deck late at night when I was messing around.
I try not to pay attention. I just try to ignore the whole thing.
So that's my journey. And basically, I give Phil credit. You know, he's taught me something about not needing to collect, not needing to hoard, using what you have. Now, I think, you know, maybe Phil could come a little bit in my direction, maybe like a second lantern. You know, I even asked him once, hey, do you want to find one of the three burners so you could have a three burner Coleman stove? He's like, no, I don't want it.
He's good. Yeah, Phil's a man after my own heart.
He keeps it minimal.
If it's working, I don't need to go find anything else if what I have works.
At the beginning of the episode, you said you're a minimalist, and, you know, I'm just not. And I'm comfortable with not being a minimalist. I love testing gear. I love trying gear. That doesn't mean I need to collect
it. You don't need to be a maximalist.
Or hoard it. Well, there's a golden path somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And hopefully a Coleman lantern will light my way.
All right. And for everybody out there, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.